Welcome to the Wine Vault. On tonight's episode, Rob and Scott return to Chile to drink another Cabernet Sauvignon from their offerings. This time from Casas del Bosque, their Reserva Cabernet. So sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's Wine Vault. Welcome to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy, and tonight, I'm joined by Scott, the licensed taxi driver.
It's good to be here, Rob. How are you doing this evening?
Well, I was trying to repress a burp during my intro, but I suppressed it. I was able to hand it off to you before
I think you slipped it out.
No, I didn't.
I think that's on air.
I couldn't tell if it was going to be a burp or if I was going to vomit on the mic, but I didn't.
Oh, is that because you had a bad Bordeaux recently?
No, I had a good Bordeaux.
Did you?
No.
When was that?
Just now.
That was no?
But I've been looking at your face, and that requires vomit. No, it's nice. Scott is a bitter dick because he's a bitter man.
Know what I like and what I don't?
I know what you like and what you don't, too. They're called kinks. Yes, I know. Folks, would you like to know what Scott likes? Oh, they all said yes, Scott. There might be... The voices
yes,
in my
we
head.
We want to know what Scott likes.
Yes. He likes the Tamarack bathroom, and he likes the left hand because it's all about talent. The right hand is built for speed. Scott is more a left-hand kind of guy. That's nice because I appreciate a person that likes, you know, the finer things in life.
You like ambidexterity.
No, it's just, you know, if I were ambidextrous, I would be the same with both hands. No. The right hand is more of a piston pumping action, like, where the other one is very more elegant. And then you service the tip with the thumb, yes.
It's more elegant.
Oh, yeah, you said that.
No.
You said, Scott said.
I asked you in a question, elegant.
This is elegant, and I said that's a curious thing to say, and it was curious though. Scott was in the Tamarack bathroom too, so I don't know. Lots of things are curious. Curious is the word for the night, I suppose. Scott said, "I said to Scott, why are you in the Tamarack bathroom?" And he said, "I'm curious." And I went, "Oh, I know what that means. It means you want the left hand, is what that means. It takes you on a journey, like a magic carpet ride. That's what it is. Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
That's right. You'll never think of that term the same way, will you?
What?
No, you won't.
No, that will impress me at all.
No. And now, the wine we have on the show tonight, I'm sure they're very excited that we're following that with their name. This is Casas del Bosque.
Bosque.
I don't know them.
Bosque.
But they are from Chile.
We like Chile.
We do.
It's been a while since we've been there.
Is it Casablanca Valley or is it Rapel? I think it's Casablanca, isn't it? I wouldn't know because you took the bottle.
Rapel.
Not Casablanca. It is a... It's $14.99.
Well, so Bosque, the producer,
yeah,
is registered as Casablanca Valley, Chile.
But this is Rapel.
This bottle says... In the Rapel Valley, we found optimal conditions, soil, climate, viticulture, so I think this bottle is made in Rapel.
Well, Casas del Bosque, and you hear me say Casas, it's because it's C-A-S-A-S, not just one Casa, it's multiple Casas, apparently. They have a line, this is the Reserva level, so okay. The Reserva, you would think, well, that's, it's their base level. That's their base level, introductory level. They have a Sauvignon Blanc, Chardonnay, Carmenier, and Cabernet. Then they have a Botanic series. Don't know what that
Botanic
is.
Botanic series.
Don't fucking care. But they have a Sauvignon Blanc, La Cantera, whatever that is, a Riesling, because a lot of people drink Chilean Rieslings, and then a Rosé Pinot Noir, because fuck that. Then they have their Grand Reserva level. And there they have a Chardonnay, Pinot, Syrah, Carmenier, Cabernet, and late harvest. Now you say, Rob, what's a late harvest? I don't know. Let's fucking click on it.
It's going to be a late harvest Riesling, douche.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
Well, it could be a late harvest anything. You can.
No, it's going to be a late harvest Riesling.
It is. It's a noble late harvest Riesling. So there's noble rot involved in that.
That's what you do. It's probably why they grow the Riesling, to do the late harvest Riesling.
Well, it has noble rot on it, which means it's like, it's botrycized. The sugar is brought in.
Allegedly, it is.
It's a dessert wine is what it is.
Yes.
And then they have the Pequeñas. And there they have a Sauvignon Blanc Chardonnay, Pinot Noir, and Syrah. What is Pequeñas? Who fucking knows? Pequeñas. Lord. It's their small parcels. So not single vineyards, but
that's
more condensed.
What it is.
It's not.
Oh, my Lord.
Have you ever seen that before? No.
So difficult.
And then the last one, they have their private reserve. There they have La Trampa and Grand Bosque. What is that? Stuff that's more expensive, apparently. I've never seen them. I don't know what they cost. They make 5,000 bottles of their Cabernet. The Grand Bosque is a Cabernet with 5,000 bottles, so it must be nice. Is it expensive? Is it cheap? Who knows? Nevertheless, though, we have their cheap shit tonight. We have their reserve. Aren't you excited, Scott?
I'm so excited. How about you?
It's been a long time since we've done this.
We miss Chile.
There was a time.
A lot of good things.
There was a time where we did a lot of Chilean wines, partly because it was kind of the vogue thing. Chilean Cabernets, Chilean Pinot Noirs, really, really great values. Still good values.
Yes.
But it's not something that we focused on here on the show because we did that. We did the... You know, we did the, you know, what am I thinking of? Who are they? The Apatagwas. We've done the, you know, the Santa Carolinas. We've done all that stuff. And so going back and redoing it, well, here's a new one. But there's a lot of stuff, especially in South America. Some good values there, but...
Don't they do a Syrah, bro?
Well, yeah, I know. Chilean Syrah is pretty common.
We've done one on the show. We've been to Chile a lot. I don't... Maybe a blend that had Syrah in it?
I don't know.
I don't remember.
I mean, I know Apatagua does not do a Syrah. But you know what? A lot of the stuff, Montes... We've done like the Montes Alpha Syrah. We've done stuff like that from there. But that's Argentina.
I don't remember the Alpha Syrah.
You know why you don't remember it?
Because it was bad?
It wasn't bad. It was just not a 93 point from the Wine Spectator. So, it's not a bad wine. It's just...
Tim Atkin, your dudes, gave it a 93.
Oh, this is Tim Atkins. Yes, yes. I did. I haven't been on the show in so long, Scott. Scott, how have you been? I've missed you. How have you been?
I miss you too, Tim.
Oh, my God. I know the triple B's right now. It's like, what is that noise? I'm trying to sleep. But she can't call Rob the Wine Guy because his phone is on Do Not Disturb. So, you know, right now, Scott, you know what I'm wearing. I'm wearing a linen shirt with it butt open down to my navel with no undershirt showing my chest there. Isn't it sexy for me?
No, it's not.
I recently had a speaking engagement. Did you know that, Scott?
Where was it at?
The local Boy Scouts of America.
Easy, Tim.
What? I spoke on, you know.
Easy.
What? I got my organizations confused. On Tuesday, I spoke at NAMBLA. Then I spoke at the Boy Scouts Thursday. You know what you should do? You should always know your audience. And
it's a good idea.
I had two different speeches, and I mixed them up.
Fortunately, we don't have an audience, so it's okay that you talk like this.
Strangely enough, the NAMBLA ones love the Boy Scout speech. I don't know why the other ones...
Oh, Lord.
Nevertheless, you brought up Tim Atkins. I don't talk like him much.
The Syrah also got a 93 from Drinks Business.
Business?
Drinks Business.
That's right. Southern man. I am familiar with the drinks business. See, where I'm from down in the South, we make moonshine. And we call that drinks business. See, we make it in our backyard. Scott, have you ever had that?
I'm going to avoid anything you made in your backyard.
Well, Scott, you've You've drank Pepperwood Grove, haven't you?
Oh, Lord.
Where do you think that was made, Scott?
Oh,
they say Chile, but it was not. It was made in my backyard.
I think it was made in somebody's bathtub.
You drink Goat de Rome, don't you? I know you do. Where do you think that shit's made? It's made down on my backyard.
It's in a stainless steel vessel.
I know. I know all the hippies like to have wines that are grown biodynamically, where you fertilize it yourself. Yeah. I fertilize that shit myself.
I bet you do.
That's right. You know what he does, Scott?
What does he do?
He defecates by his own vines, and then that's what's called manure. I don't know why I do this with my hand when I do this voice, but he is a vegan, strangely enough. I don't think the Southern man is a vegan.
I eat raccoon.
Well,
yes,
that
but
might qualify you as a vegan.
The raccoon, he did not kill the raccoon. It's roadkill, so it was already dead. So it's okay because he is being economically like a vulture. He's a vulture is what he is. So it's carrion. It's different, Scott. It's not like he killed it himself.
Carrion.
Fuck you, Scott.
Carrion's a type of luggage.
It is. It is. You know what I do like to carry on in my carrion?
What do you like to carry on in your carrion?
Well, it shows up in a metal detector. That's all I'm going to say. I'm not going to tell you what it is, but nevertheless.
A gun? Why no. Don't you get arrested?
No.
You don't get arrested.
I don't want to. I'm just going to jump in for this voice because he doesn't know where to go. What he has in his suitcase is, it's a dildo. I think it's what he's talking about. Yeah.
It's a metal dildo?
He's very hardcore, Scott. Yes, yes. Metal is a renewable resource. It's made out of
metal.
Aluminum. It's made out of pop cans, Scott. It's not very comfortable, I'm sure.
I'm sure it's not very comfortable.
Some sharp edges on that. It's a very dumb thing to do.
Well,
you know. In the Tamarack, Scott said he prefers latex, and I think that's smart. So, you know. Anyway.
What were we talking? Oh, yes. This wine.
Wine?
Yes.
It's a wine podcast.
You threw us off. It's your fault.
I didn't go to the NAMBLA speech.
Tim Atkins did. I don't know why. Did I say NAMBLA? I thought I said MAMBLA. You know how it's pronounced, so that's fine. Anyway, Casa del Bosque. Some interesting points. They have restaurants.
Beautiful food on the website looking.
I didn't look at it, but you've had some time.
Wonderful website if you understand Spanish.
I've been busy creating content for our show. You're busy looking up restaurants.
Oh, I see.
Yes.
I'm on the winemaker's website.
Yes, I am too. Oh, wow. There's a guy in a ball cap. He's dipping something in a pot. Oh, that's very nice. So that's a nice cherry, like a chocolate tort.
Gorgeous looking tort.
Oh, wow. There's some nice pictures here.
It's a beautiful looking restaurant and bar.
Oh, wow. Barbo. I think we need to go to Chile. We were talking about going out for drinks and some food next Saturday, but I think we'll just go to Chile instead. I'll text Jason right now. We'll make arrangements. We'll get Southwest.
I don't think
Where are you going? This is Becky. Where are you going?
I think Southwest flies to Colombia. They do fly to South America now.
Maybe we can get an Uber. Winemaker's notes, folks. Black currants, plums, and a hint of mint. Notes of tea and spice, medium bodied, fresh with firm tannins and that warrant further cellaring. No. Almost any red meat, especially served rare, is going to be a good match. Most hamburgers and empanadas will also pair well depending on their other ingredients. Cheesy grilled polenta or portobello mushrooms with garlic and butter. Hard cheeses such as cheddar, Malamute, or Gouda.
Hmm.
And this wine itself, I went off the wine. I shouldn't have done that. Cabernet Reserva. I know that it's on oak. I think 50% on French for 6 months. Am I right?
That whole Spanish thing is what gets me.
But you can open it in English, you dipshit.
Can't open it in English.
Well, that's because you're stupid, but still. Yes, I believe. It's 6 months French oak, and I think that's 50% of the wine. So the rest of it is in stainless steel if you go to the English site, which I did. So, folks, we are going to take a break, but then we'll be right back here on the Wine Vault.
Hey everybody, it's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love the Wine Vault? Do you want the world to know about the Wine Vault? Well, do you know the best way to do that? By giving us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Whether that be on iTunes or Stitcher or TuneIn or Spreaker or Podbean or some other app I've never heard of but probably gave your phone a virus when you downloaded it. So take that time. Give us that review. Give us your thoughts and feedback. That way, everyone will know to listen to, enjoy, and join us on the Wine Vault. And we'll be right back.
And we're back, folks. So, the Casas del Bosque, Rapel Valley, Reserva, Cabernet, it does have one review.
Thank you very much. This is James Suckley, and I'm glad to be back on the show because you're finally doing Chilean wines, where I once was allowed to be in, currently not, based on politics, but still, it has nothing to do with any scandals or things that...
Everything about you is a scandal, James.
No. Did you know I live in Tuscany, Scott? You don't.
Why?
No. But I heard you sleep naked, which I find to be quite reprehensible, but I sleep naked too.
You slept naked.
Yeah, I do. How did you know that? Oh.
You've talked about were it you on the show,
my,
James.
Were you on my master class?
No. Now, Rob Dern, the wine guy, was.
No. He was on my OnlyFans. Anyway, I provided this wine, the dreaded 92 of my points. I got very excited. Anyway, I wrote red and black currants, mulberries, bramble leaves. What is a bramble leaf? Peppermint, spice box, and peppercorns on the nose. So let's count these things. One, two, red and black currants, that counts as two, folks. Mulberries, no one knows what those smell like, but that's three. Bramble leaves, I don't know what a bramble leaf is, but neither do you, that's four. Peppermint, that's five. Spice box, six. Peppercorns, seven things on the nose, folks. Remember that. Medium-bodied, with firm, well-intricated tannins. Sleek and classically styled with excellent balance. Apparently, it has no fruit. It has nothing on the palate. It's just, it has aroma. And then after that, it's just medium-bodied with tannins. I'm excellent. Jesus Christ. Seven things, folks, on the nose. Scott.
So the Rapel Valley is a large area in Chile's Central Valley. It's coastal, on the coastal side of the Andes, and it's made up of one of our favorite regions.
Colchagua?
Colchagua Valley and the Cachapoal Valley. I don't know that we heard that. Cachapoal Valley.
Names are not familiar, no.
I don't know that we've had something specifically from there. So this is a more general region when they talk about the Rapel Valley. I think it might even be referred to as the Central Valley. Think more like North Coast or Central Coast as opposed to like Monterey in a California designate. But it's coastal, so you're going to get the Pacific Ocean's influence to the valley before you get to the Andes Mountains. Probably good rainfall as the weather moves in from the coast, hits the mountains, and it drops rain. You look at the topography of the region, and it's like, this is a place where you grow grapes.
I'm just looking at Apatagua real quick. And yes, Apatagua, their Carmenier is from Rapel. Actually, their Pinot now is from Curacao Valley.
Right.
Their Carmenier is, well, it depends on the, yeah. And so then, the Cabernet is Rapel.
It's Rapel.
Yeah. But Cachagua within Rapel.
It's going to be wines produced from Cachagua. It's probably just partially Cachapoal, maybe I would say. I don't know.
Yeah, it's facing the Cachapoal River. So now, it does have stony soils, clear skies, and cold nights, so that helps. But so one thing about Rappel, we're not expecting something to be massive, even though they said it's going to be ageable and whatnot. That is not typical of that area. It is French oak, so it might have a little bit there. I don't know that Apatagua's base is like that either. And this is a really a comp. Apatagua's a buck cheaper than that at 13. This is 14.
And you know, even their own website, when they say it's ageable, they're talking 5 years. That's it.
Yeah.
That's what they say. So it is what it is.
On the nose, though.
It's dense. There's a little watery edge, but it looks the part.
The seven.
We've seen darker cabs, but we expect them to be a little less dense than a California cab, per se.
It has a nice magenta hue to it. The nose, though, is slightly green.
Very green. Slightly. I'm going to go very green.
I'm being
sir.
Nice.
It's a pattern this evening.
You want to say green peppercorn?
Being very nice.
Or do you want to say green pepper?
God, I...
Don't you smell all those things I mentioned?
I am afraid to drink this. It's that.
Don't you smell the peppermint? Pepper. What about the bramble leaves?
No.
That's bramble leaves you're smelling, I think.
No.
No? No? Spice box? Do you smell that? This has been open for quite some time, folks. So.
Smell your spice box.
Okay. That's all my OnlyFans, but.
Take a fucking shower, you heathen. It is. This is quite possibly the worst nose we've 12 months, a year.
It's green. There's some menthol. Maybe some cherry or red currant, I guess, if you want
no,
to say that.
No, it's green fucking pepper.
Oh, it's green. There's a lot of green there.
Let's get this over with.
No, it's bramble leaves. Well,
residual sugar.
No. Well, no, but
yes.
No.
Yes.
No, there's no residual sugar. Mm. It's kind of a hollow. It's very hollow. It doesn't have a lot of backbone or structure. It doesn't taste very green. I wish it did.
That is a...
There's not a lot of... There's no structure to the wine. It
does not have a succinct front, mid, finish.
No, it has like a slightly crystalline cherry...
That's what I'm describing as a residual sugar. In the,
but I don't
in
mean sweet. But
aftertaste, too.
But after that, like, it's just kind of... There's you can taste a little bit of the oak, but there's no mid palate. It just kind of smears over. It's a very... It's a lazy wine.
Yep.
Because it doesn't really do anything. It's shocking because, you know... There's no 92 anywhere around this one, even if it's James. I think we've had probably a good majority of the wines that are available. La Postelet, any big dog we've had, and this wine is different in the fact that it just is lifeless. It's
different in the fact that it sucks.
Yeah, that's not a technical term, but
actually for this it is. This is a technical term. This wine sucks.
It doesn't suck in the way that a California Cabernet sucks, but
I would dare say we've had some California designate Cabernets that are better than this. Escapes me which one I would say that would be, because they've all been horrendous, but this fits in that category of wine.
It actually kind of does a little bit.
It really does. It's not.
I got it. I drew it out finally, so it, now it has a mid, a front, a mid, and a finish. I wish I hadn't. Partly because it's harsh.
Dog breath. Cat's litter box. Underwear.
Which is fun to wear. Underwear is fun to wear.
Not after it's been sitting in your laundry basket for 2 weeks.
What it has when you actually get it to open up a little bit.
Open up.
It has a and I'm going to say this without any interruption, please. It's a very sloppy cherry currant front palette. And the fact that it doesn't have any real good definition. It's just sloppy and very flabby. Wine should have structure, which is guided by acidity. It can be guided by the oaking, but it's really there's something that keeps it fresh and linear in
something,
a certain sense.
Anything.
This doesn't have that. This is flabby. So the wine kind of drips out and you find flavors popping here and there. Not in a good way. Then the mid palate is just kind of it's a sun-dried tomato kind of sloppy stewiness. It's stewy, which is bad. Then the finish, it has a bit of sloppy oak. It's short and simple. None of it is good. And you'd say, well, it's disjointed. No. It's all jointed together. Every bit of the joints aren't good.
No, it's just bad.
It's probably one of the worst things I've seen put out in the teens from Chile. I mean, this is something that in the past you'd say, well, this is, what is this, La Playa Reserve? Because it's not as green or as shitty as those wines, but it's not good in its scale. So it's a bigger wine, and the things that have made it bigger are slop. You know, that's what it tastes. It's just a slovenly made wine. It tastes like, it's like the equivalent of someone that, you know, comes into a nice restaurant that's wearing, you know, baggy jeans and a torn shirt. There's just no, A, good winemaking. B, the wine stock is of a lower level. So even if you had a wizard in there, they can only do so much. But this is not great stuff. And the thing is, most places, even in this price range, kind of like focus in on either Cochagua or someplace else. This is doing the full rappel, even though I think La Postelée does full rappel. I think they rappel. But they're more austere. They figured that out. They're a leaner wine, and in the leanness, it's better. See, this wine lacks the acidity and structure to keep the flavors that get out of kilter in check.
And it's not just one thing that's out of kilter. It's as you said, it's not that this is disjointed. It's very jointed. It's just all bad. That cherry thing, for me, it's like I can feel the sugar crystals forming on my lips.
Oh, I don't know
it's
about that.
It just taste of sweet cherry.
Now it's starting to show a little more competently, but in that competence, it doesn't have any. Okay, so it has an opening, a middle, and an end, right? But none of the flavors are good flavors.
No.
It's not, they're not unnatural flavors, but I don't like prune, and I don't really love black cherry, and I don't like those things kind of muddled together.
Yeah.
And they don't have any good definition. They're very muddled. You can always tell a lower quality wine when the actual elements of the wine are muddled to the point where you can't definitely pull them out. The better the wine, the more elements you can just with certain certainty pull out. You can say that's black cherry, that's blackberry, that's cassis, that's tannin, that's spice box, that's you can pull those flavors out because it has complexity and it's well defined. This wine is a muddled there's a smear over everything where you're like
usually I would expect a wine of this quality line to be
cheaper.
A fisheye?
It'd be a good fisheye, but that's what you would want that price range to be. That's what you'd want that. They aren't, but that's what you'd think it should be.
This is like an Ohio Cabernet. It's just bad.
It's better than that, but...
Okay, but it's
Scott, just this is like bad. What... No. This is what your expectations are for a $5 or $6 bottle of wine.
Yes.
Now, those $5 or $6 bottles of wine never meet that expectation. They're all far, far worse. But in my imagination, a cheap ass wine like this,
running away with me.
That's what this tastes like, the bare minimum of something that you could drink. You wouldn't drink it, but you could. That's what I would.
Even if this was that fisheye, you'd go, oh, okay, this is fisheye. This is what it should be. And you'd be, you're like, this is why I don't buy this. This is not $5.
No.
This is not $6. No. It's not.
It does have that thing of, yeah, that's why I don't buy this. I mean, it does have
really
that.
It really does.
I mean, it's not bad as fisheye, but you still, but it has something similar. It has something in common with fisheye. You wouldn't buy. I mean, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter that fisheye is 5 and this is 14. They have the same thing in common. You wouldn't buy it.
They're really bad.
Would I buy this at $5.99?
Not after I tried it.
No. Why? Why wouldn't I buy it at $5.99? It's cheap, right?
Oh, it's a cheap.
Yeah, but I don't like what it tastes like. It's like, okay, it is a wine, right? It is dry-ish. I mean, it has some weird elements, like what Scott's referring to. It's not residual sugar, but... It doesn't taste like what you'd want things to taste like, right? You expect a certain level of competency, even from Chilean wines, in that price range. And it doesn't exhibit that.
We love Chilean wines.
Well, we like Chilean wines. That being said, Scott, just to keep point of order, Apatagua Cabernet. Huh. We have a rosier remembrance of that wine than what it probably should have. It's better than this, mind you, but
I haven't bought the cab in a long time.
No, why is that? It's so cheap.
No, I just because just don't.
It's not that good.
No, we enjoyed it,
but it's not that good. This wine is not that good. The La Postelée is vastly better than this wine or Apatagua, any of those wines. It's really. The base La Postelée is dry, and it's a little austere and lean, that's good.
What I remember that we didn't care for on the cab was that we liked the entry price one better than the reserve level.
No, the Inverno, that's their reserve level, is better than their. Because I've had them multiple times since then. I went, nah, that's stupid.
That's what I remember about the cab. Initially, then you've had the Inverno.
Inverino or something.
Inverino.
This wine, have another sip. Can you drink it? Yes.
Do you want to?
No. You know what, though? This wine would be better if it was stainless. Because that drippy kind of cruddy oak at the finish, it kind of pulls it down. It's not a good wine to begin with, but it needs as much freshness as it can get. And that oak is just kind of a little bit of an anchor on the finish that just kind of, it doesn't do anything. It doesn't add complexity or any balance to it. It just is kind of it's a downer in an already wine that is a little bit of a downer. If it was all stainless, it might taste a little fresher.
Maybe.
And, I mean, it's not,
I wonder if this would have been better if it was straight from the bottle and it wasn't decanted for 2 hours.
I mean, I don't know. That's not the way we do things. It's a $15 bottle of wine that says it can age up to 5 years. So,
yeah,
why would we do that?
Not quite accurate.
Okay. You can forget where it is. You know, after 5 years, hopefully you'll forget where you put the bottle.
Maybe it turns into vinegar. You have some nice vinegar.
It's not too far right now.
Red wine vinegar.
It's not that far off. I'm not cooking with this.
Oh, God, no.
Why?
Why? Hello?
I mean, this is, I mean, you know, for wines that are supposedly competent, that are somewhat there in the teens, this is up there with being dumb. I mean, just fucking
that's awful.
Fucking a duck is what this one is.
This is fucking a duck. This is awful.
I mean,
why would you consider?
We've had a lot worse wines, but this is still a fucking a duck. I'm drinking it, but we're not going to drink a lot of it. There's a duck that's being fucked right now.
They've got this huge portfolio.
And none of it would you buy? Should you buy?
The small lots are interesting, the pecanas.
You don't want to drink that, man. They think that this is good, man.
They think this is good.
This is their Reserva.
No, this is their entry price shit.
Why do they call it Reserva?
They do. Don't you remember they do that?
No, they don't. Who is they?
Chile. South America. They do that shit. Don't have an entry price line, but you call it Reserva.
It's not Reserva. What are you reserving this for? Shooting it with a gun?
Oliver Stone.
Target show? Yeah, reserve. Well, Oliver Stone.
Yeah.
What?
There's a conspiracy theory here.
Is it?
The conspiracy theory. Line.
Yeah. There's Oliver Stone. I have had the Casas del Bosque. And I think that there was a conspiracy. Lee Harvey Oswald was a patsy. Who weeps for Lee Harvey Oswald? He is buried in a...
What's that joke guy's
cheap
name?
Cheap grave. Joe Blogan?
Joe Wagner.
Oh. Joe Wagner.
Joe Wagner allegedly was in Chile to make the swine.
Triangulated crossfire.
Wasn't.
Was.
Yeah. And then...
That's the key.
He entered the country under a false identity. I think his name was Joe Rogner.
Yeah.
And then he started a podcast and... He didn't need to make wine anymore. It's a good thing because this stuff sucks.
Some people said he was 5'11". In reality, Joe Blogan is 5'1". It's true. I read it somewhere. I know I wrote it. I wrote it in my script. That's right. He's 4'3". That's what he is. He has sausage fingers for hands. That's Joe Blogan. That's right. Yeah.
Oh, this poor, poor company.
No, I wrote a review. Said it was good. It was a conspiracy theory. It's not.
This is not good. It's like, really? Why would you do this? How could you put this out?
Well,
no. Some.
No, not how. Why?
Some person who's making wine tastes this. And says, yes, we're going to put this to market. And I want to know what their motivation is. Because they're not going to make money selling this.
Have you ever heard of it?
Can't. No. Mm-mm. But this is like, how many cases?
Why, are you trying to find out where they are so you can pinpoint them for a strike? High Mars.
This is 20,000 cases they make of this.
Forget the Kerch Bridge, Ukraine. Target the warehouses, the store Casas del Bosque.
They make 19,400 cases of this.
That's not a lot, but too many.
That's a significant amount.
At least it's authentic, old-school Chilean wine,
except
which is
it's
bad.
Not,
but it is.
No,
old-school Chilean wine was bad, so this is an homage to old-school Chilean wine, which is bad. There you go. So, see how that works? It's authentic, although it's not authentic in the point of it's not as bad as it's not bad like the way those were. This wine, though, I'm going to drink it again, Scott.
Oh Lord,
I'm going to give it. Prop.
Freaking.
I'm going to pour a whole lot in your glass.
I'm not going to drink it. It's undrinkable. Well, it's not good. It's.
All right. It's okay. It's okay. But then again, this is the second bottle in, so maybe I'm just drunk as fuck. But it It's just not what you want. I think that's a better term to say it's bad or good. It's just not what you want. I don't... South American wine should have a French influence, right? And so they should focus more on proper structure and complexity over drippy fruits or whatever. So tradition. That's what they should go for. And this wine doesn't really adopt anything. It doesn't seem to have any kind of soul or passion behind it. And I just come back to the fact that the structure is just nondescript. And if you miss out on that, and by structure, let's go to this. Let's explain to that, because we're saying structure the structure that. The wine itself, you can have XYZ flavors, right? But what is behind them keeping them in check? You know, because say you have a flavor and it just kind of runs amok, and then you, and like prune in small amounts can be nice. However, if something tastes like prune juice, think of the elements of a prune juice, especially if it's out of a tin can. You're tasting the tin can at the end. A flabby wine will have fruits, flavors that just kind of run over into the elements that you don't like.
Yeah.
And you're going to taste chemical compounds, like the residuaries of that, an aftertaste, sort of. Where a proper wine keeps everything clean and tidy, so you don't have some sort of aftertaste from something on the front palate. The front palate stays in the front. So if I'm tasting blackberry, I'm tasting it in the front element. I'm not tasting it at the end, because if something lingers on, it doesn't taste like the fresh blackberry. It tastes like throw up in your mouth. That's not being cute. It tastes like sick after a while.
It really does.
Yeah. You want a flavor to be defined within a part of the palate. I don't want to be tasting blackberry when I'm experiencing tobacco leaf or spice box or tannin. I don't want that. I want that to be cleaned up and compartmentalized in the front palate. That's why we have defined areas of the palate. That's why we have the finish to be the finish. You don't taste blackberry in the fucking finish. You don't. Why? Because it's the front palate. It doesn't matriculate down.
And for me, that Swedish sweet-ish.
Swedish fish. It does.
Black cherry. It's just that it feels like there's sugar crystals on my lips at the end of the wine. And there's no... The other thing structurally that's wrong with this wine, where are the tannins? Where's the tannin backbone of this wine?
Yeah, it's a murky kind of...
Doesn't exist. It's
well, there are tannin, but they're not they're muddled in with kind of a sharp, husky kind of oak. They don't come across as a traditional Cabernet. This is and honestly, from the body standpoint, this is lighter bodied. The thing that props it up are just the oaking.
Yeah,
the wine itself doesn't have a lot of weight, body, or mouth feel to it.
You'd be stretching it to say this is a solid medium-bodied wine.
No, it's medium. It's really in the lower ranges of medium body. It really is. And that also affects it. But Chilean wine sometimes can have a lighter bodied. 100%. But if the wine is austere, a little bit leaner, that works. In a certain sense, within the confines of what you're drinking.
If it's a proper French-style South American cab,
yeah,
you don't mind the body weight of this.
You're okay with it. If the flavors are all in check, the wine is properly structured. But this wine is just like, oh, yeah. We read a book where they said, you know, you have to have, you know, good acidity or things like that to keep the wine to be not be flabby, but, you know, it'll be fine. It's not fine.
I want to know who made the decision to put 19,000 cases of this into bottles. It's like, there's some things that just shouldn't be done, and this wine shouldn't be put in a bottle.
Now, this isn't as good as, like, the base Montez, which isn't a great wine,
Let's be honest. We thought it was a bad wine. didn't care for it.
It's boring. It's a boring wine. It's
I would
a wine.
Rather this was boring. I'd rather have boring than this.
No, no, I would rather it be a little more boring. The things that make it exciting aren't exciting.
Here's a game like, where the rubber meets the road. You blind taste this. Do you pull cab for this?
You pull Chile.
Maybe. On the nose. You pull South America with a green nose, right?
It's Chilean,
you go,
man.
It's bad.
I think that, yeah, I think that you go Chilean cab. It's just not a good one.
I just don't.
I close my eyes and taste it.
I'm just like, it's like the green pepper leads you to something bad from South America. Yes, I give you that.
No, I would go Chilean Cabernet, yeah. Because I've had a lot of bad ones, Scott. You have not. You've lived a pampered life.
Well, it's a good life.
You've never drank La Playa, have you? This is better than La Playa.
Did we do a La Playa on the show?
Oh, maybe good God, no. Episode. I'm not going to do that. It's like giving ourselves rectal exams on the show. I can do that.
We've done that before.
I'm qualified for that.
We do that all the time.
I just use my thumb, Scott.
Oh, that's not part of the show?
No, it's not. Although I do have a show for that.
I thought that was part of the show.
No, it's not. You fell for it. Yeah. I'm not a real doctor either.
What? Strange.
No.
What?
No, no. Anybody can buy a stethoscope, but mine.
What was that badge you showed?
I bought it. It's all from kids' like costumes. I have like a fake stethoscope and a fake police badge. It's purple. I thought you would have figured it was fake, but I was joking originally when I said I was a police officer that I also was a doctor. I didn't think you'd take me seriously, but you're very, very eager. Well, you're like, well, arrest me, officer, and give me a rectal exam. I went,
police departments have doctors.
It wasn't my idea.
They might be called coroners.
I was like,
but
Jesus Christ, this went from 0 to 60 real quick. And I was like, well, if you say so. You know,
I really need to rethink some things.
I realized you were the aggressor. It was strange. You turned the tables on me.
I don't think you know what that means.
Well, I just had smaller plans, but I was just going to, you know.
You did have smaller hands,
I was just
Donald.
I was just going to cop a feel, but then you're like, I want the whole enchilada. I went, whoa, good God. I wasn't ready for that. I'm a pervert with limits, but, you know, I didn't know I would meet you. You have none.
So, folks, we're going to take a break, but be right back here on the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. So on tonight's potpourri.
Oh.
Scott.
Yes.
What are elements of a wine that you find to be unforgivable?
Cherry that
well,
has so much
ignoring
residual
the
sugar.
Cassis that del Bosque.
Like there's, my lips are like a
well, it's
rim
not,
of a
it
margarita
It doesn't have
glass.
Residual sugar. You're a crack addict. But there's plenty 2. Of fault.
2.6 grams per liter.
Well, for me, you don't even know what that means in the context.
Yeah, it means there's 2.6 grams of sugar per liter of wine.
Is that a lot or a little?
They're not accurate in that.
Well, I don't like a wine that's murky in the fact that it doesn't have defined elements to it. You get that with cheaper wines, but sometimes you can say, those are good red fruits, good black fruits, good whatever. You can't do this with this wine.
Everything's just so bad. All the different parts, all the different elements. But back to your original question, I think one of the common flaws we see is, and I don't know if over oaking is the phrase I'm looking for, but just bad oaking, where it's just the wine can't handle, either the level of oak that they've applied to it, or it's just it's,
or it's not
only certain wines can handle.
Or it's not proper oaking,
new
too.
American oak,
but not proper oaking too. Oak chips, staves.
There's the, all that, but yeah. It's like there's times where we know we've got a good wine, or it should be a good wine.
Oh, it's a Christian pour, yeah.
But the oak fucks it up, and you just can't get past that.
I poured all the decanter out in our glasses, knowing that it didn't matter anyway.
No, knowing that it's
going back in the decanter,
going to eat through the crystal.
It might
and ruin the carpet because that wine is battery acid. Exaggeration, but no, that I think that's probably the most common flaw we see, just improper or bad oaking.
Well, that is a good question. I mean, the most common flaw, yeah, that is one that is fairly basic. But really, if we're talking about the one thing that I see in a wine that kind of holds things back, it is, aside from the oaking, the definition of flavors. Things that are muddled. Things that are flabby. So, you know, you're going to have undefined fruits in the front palate that don't really correspond to anything else. It's just like if you're having a product that has, it tastes like ham on the front and it tastes like cotton candy right after that, those are two things that don't match up. It's just like the match game. You're trying to find like pairs of three that all work together. Wine is no different. Things should be harmonious in a certain sense. So you should have things that flow. If they don't, you're going to have something that tastes bad.
So instead of finishing your ham with marshmallow sauce, finish it with cotton candy sauce?
No.
Oh, that would be delicious.
Would it?
Probably not.
No, it wouldn't be. But
but there's a reason they put marshmallows in the sweet potato casserole.
Okay.
To go with the ham.
That would work, yeah.
So why not cotton candy?
Well, why do you think?
I think it would be an interesting new way to treat a ham.
What about urine and ham? Those two things would not go well together.
No.
No, they wouldn't.
If you're going to make ceviche,
Scott.
If you're going to make ceviche, I think.
Ceviche?
Wilfred's ceviche.
My ceviche is 95% urine, 2% tuna fish. Star-kissed.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
Then I top it with Duke's mayonnaise. You know,
I love Duke's mayonnaise.
Yeah, I know you do.
Duke's mayonnaise is amazing.
Duke's mayonnaise is known for the best mayonnaise to masturbate with. It's actually in their commercials. That's why Scott likes it. There's a jingle. They have a jingle, Scott. Duke's mayonnaise, jerk off with us. That's actually their main jingle.
No, that's your YouTube page jingle, Wilfred. You're confused again.
Aren't they a commercial for my YouTube page?
No, you just happen to use their product.
I thought they get to jerk off with? Yes, I do, but they're very creamy, and they have a nice, they have a higher oil level in their mayonnaise. It's scientifically proven, Scott, that Duke's mayonnaise is better to masturbate with than any other mayonnaise on the market currently. They've had testing. There has been it's clinically proven. I saw that somewhere.
That's not a clinic.
Was that on The Price is Right? I don't know where it was. Is it clinically proven as the best mayonnaise to masturbate with? Strangely enough, there was no other mayonnaises that submitted their products for testing for that test.
I can't imagine why.
I tested it. I actually was in charge of the testing.
I bet you were.
Yeah, Dukes didn't know what they were sending it to. They thought it was for chicken salad. Fuck you. It's not chicken salad. I'm jerking off with this shit.
Duke's mayonnaise has a little bit of lemony goodness.
They sent me a gallon of the mayonnaise. It was just, I just opened that top and I fucked it to begin with. I have no pride. I fucked a gallon of mayonnaise. That's what I did. Wait a minute. Are we on the air? Holy shit. I don't want anybody to know that. Yeah.
Duke's mayonnaise, folks.
I can't remember what the purpose of the potpourri was.
Actually, Duke's mayonnaise is quite good, but
it's delicious.
To masturbate with, that's right, yeah.
No, it's great.
to masturbate. Scott likes to jerk it. Yeah, with, you know.
I like Trader Joe's organic mayonnaise.
Yes.
Duke's mayonnaise.
Yes.
And they're not. They're all secondhand.
They are, Scott. There's only one for jerking off, and that's Duke's mayonnaise.
So, folks, we're going to take a break because Scott is wildly inappropriate. And be right back here. I don't want to read these. What are you writing now? I'm not going to read. Duke's mayonnaise is a legitimate family product. I'm not going to read that, what you just wrote, Scott. So you need to grow up. So we're going to be right back here on the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. So for the Wine Vault, I would like to apologize to the listeners and to Duke's Mayonnaise for the jokes Scott's written about you. I don't know why he likes to write jokes about Duke's Mayonnaise, but it's terrible. It's a good product.
It's delicious.
They're very creamy.
Delicious.
It's a special sauce, folks. It's a special recipe.
Best mayonnaise for egg salad sandwiches in the history of egg salad sandwiches.
And you know, no one eats fucking egg salads. You know what they're using that for, right?
Egg salad's delicious.
It's weird.
No, it's simple.
Duke's mayonnaise, folks. Yes.
Lemon zest. I like taking some of the egg whites out.
Yes.
Two-thirds.
Say it slower. Turn the lights down.
Two-thirds of the eggs, I don't use the egg whites.
Hold on a second.
Zip. Celery seed, lemon zest. If you don't have lemon zest, lemon pepper.
Oh, my. That's nice.
Delicious.
That's sexy. Yeah.
And I like chopped onion. If you don't have it, use dried onion.
Oh, no. Oh, my gosh.
No garlic, though.
Sweatpants will never be the same.
Well, that's a fact.
So, folks, speaking of sweatpants, the Casas, who gives a shit? Del Bosque.
Yeah, Del Bosque. This.
Reserva, because they kept it back. Cabernet.
Oh, Reserva, because it's their empty price. Savigne. Trying to freaking sound good.
Yeah,
it's awful. It's just this, you know, one of your original comments, Rob, was that it's flabby, and it just is. It's just bad in every single way.
It's not even really good to quaff. I mean, you just like, because when you quaff it, you still get a little bit of the stomach acid bile / oak.
And
you're like, eh.
And for me on the front, when I just sip it without drawing air over it, that's why I feel it's got the residual sugar, because just sipping it, it just is so god awful sweet tasting. That cherry is just so sweet, but this is probably a generous score, 82 of my points. I want to go in the 70s. I just, it is what it is.
It's not quite 70s. But I'm
getting, it's bad, though.
I'm giving it 81 of my points, though. Yeah, 70s. Man, we haven't had a 70-point wine in a while. We stopped doing that to ourselves. But
this is bad.
It is bad. It's just,
you said you would recognize it as a cab. I wouldn't want to recognize this as anything.
Well, you can recognize bad cab as cab, but this is one of those things where you're like, what?
No, that's it exactly.
20,000 cases, what? There's so many products out there, folks. There's no reason to waste your time on this. That's why we did it. We wasted our time. We wasted our money on this. There's no reason for you to do it. Casa del Bosque, I would avoid all their products, partly because this is a Cabernet is a bread and butter product. And you can normally extrapolate the mindset of a winery from their bread and butter product. And so if they're tone deaf, whatever you want to call it, as to the Cabernet, what do you think their Pinot is going to be? What do you think their Carmignier is going to be?
What do you think their Syrah is going to be? All of it. You nailed it. They're fucking tone deaf to put 19,000 cases of this into bottles.
This isn't competitive to anything else on the market in its price range. It just isn't. There isn't one wine that we've had, and we've had a lot of them, folks. You know that. That this wine could even hold up anything to. It's not enjoyable. That's the other thing. There's some wines that are simplistic or this or that, but you still can find enjoyment in quaffing or whatever. This wine doesn't have that. This wine is somewhat caustic. It's just not a comfortable thing to drink. And
this is going to get a designation that we haven't given for a long, long time. Casas del Bosque, they can go fuck themselves.
Well, I haven't had anything else from their winery, but I will say this. Man, what the fuck are you doing, man? It's like, Jesus, if you have a nice restaurant, you have some nice restaurants, but motherfuckers, you need to fucking learn how to fucking make a fucking cab, because this ain't it. This is not what you do. This is not a competitive product. I'm not mad enough at you yet to say go fuck yourself, but your mom would probably tell you to do that.
Yeah.
You know, she would say, you know what, son, daughter, you're a fucking embarrassment. Go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
But come on, man. There's just too much out there currently. If your aspirations are to be as good as Liberty School Cabernet, congratulations. You did that. But
I'd rather drink Liberty School Cabernet.
Well, you're fucking dumb. You gave that a 72.
I would rather drink it again than this.
That's just ignorant, Scott. This is
bad.
But it's not that bad. It's something that you would never drink again.
Yes.
But you gave it 80 points. You gave Liberty School 74 points.
I would give it another chance.
Why?
Why would you drink this again?
I would never drink anything that's California designate from...
Yeah. Well,
ever.
We were trying to do California designate shit.
They're all bad. They're bad similar to the way this is bad. Yeah. And I've never had anything outside of the United States that is bad in that way. I've had it bad in other ways, but I've never had it bad in that way.
Yeah.
And this way is similar to that.
It really is.
Muddled, flabby, just shitty. Bad oak. Those things are more American. Don't steal that from us, folks. Don't do that.
Well, they put black cherry in it.
You got black cherry?
In this.
I got something red. I don't know what it was.
Blood cherry.
I mean, I don't know. It had a mask on, so I couldn't quite tell what it was. I mean, there's something. It's like, okay.
That's why they bottled 19,000 cases.
I'll tell
they wear masks.
Sip. I don't want another sip, but...
They wear masks. No, this is...
There's a red fruit. I don't know what it is. Man, this is the second bottle of the night. And, it's just not what you want, man. No.
Why would you buy anything else from this winery?
You can't. That's the problem. That's what I was getting to. I can't say go fuck yourself because they don't have anything else, but I'm not going to buy anything else. I would never do that.
That's the ultimate go fuck yourself, isn't it?
Well, wineries like this, they get one shot for anybody. Any consumer drinks one thing from a winery that they say is that's not any good, then you're done. You're not going to buy anything from them.
You shouldn't.
Not gonna buy their, no. I don't give a shit what they do. We've had too many things that are good.
Yeah. There's 100%.
Mm-hmm.
There's too much out there to waste your time with somebody that this is their, and I get it, it's their baseline product, but
it's their Reserva.
It's their keen. It's 20,000 cases. And you're going to put this into a bottle. I'm not going to ever consider drinking another one of your products.
No.
You have a pretty website. You have a pretty restaurant. I'll never see it. Not that I'm going to go to Chile anytime in the future. But if I was going to Chile, wouldn't fucking go there.
Maybe we'll go to Chile Coffee. So.
Oh.
Not recommended. Nevertheless, though. For don't, Rob the
don't
Wine.
Don't recommend Chile Coffee either.
Fuck no. Chile Bobo. For Rob the Wine Guy and Scott, the licensed taxi driver, we are going to bid you adieu. But we shall see you next time here on the Wine Vault. Good night, folks.